Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated. He's the carpenter's kid. What a nice way to talk about Jesus. He's the carpenter's kid. If you were to take the Gospel of Mark and you were to go all the way through and you were to find every single place where Jesus is referred to, the highest, the uppermost, highest thing that anyone says about Jesus comes from two different sources. From the demons, first of all, who say he is the Son of God, said also by the centurion at the foot of the cross, truly this man was the Son of God. And the other side of the game is right here. He's just the carpenter's kid. How we understand Jesus depends on the framework that we are going to use, the window we are going to look out at. And we recognize not everybody in this world thinks the same thing about Jesus. For many people, he is a good man who tried to be nice and loving to other people. For some, he was a fool who got himself in trouble trying to change things when he had no right to do it, no power to do it, and shouldn't have even tried. For some, he is to be put down. Why is he so famous? Who does he think he is anyway? For some, he's the one who does the healing. People will turn to Jesus when they need something. Oh, Jesus, help me now out of my trouble. But the Gospel of Mark is going to go a lot farther than that. He is going to be the ransom for many. He is the one who is going to deliver people from their sins in the presence of God. And as he lives out his life to do that, we find out that not everybody was falling down at his feet. When I teach our confirmands about how to read a gospel, I say besides the birth story, if we have one, and the death story, the last week that's in every one of the gospels, we have three basic kinds of material: teaching, healing, and conflict. Teaching, healing, and conflict. We have a lot of miracles in the Gospel of John. In the Gospel of Mark. As Mark writes this, what he's trying to say is, let's examine this man who was put to death, and let's find out why did they do it? Where's the evidence? So the Gospel of Mark, unlike Matthew and Luke, has a lot less about Jesus teaching. There's really only two chapters that really kind of concentrate on the parables, the story about what is the kingdom about. A lot more about how he restores people who are hurting. Restores people, some of them like the woman, the pickpocket last week, who picked his pocket of healing for her disease. And Jesus caught her and then blessed her. Now, we come to his own city where people were not looking at him as somebody who could heal anything, who could help them in any way, a carpenter's kid. Shove him off in a corner somewhere. It surprises us when we hear people talk about Jesus as if he's nothing, because he's our Lord and our Savior. When we hear people use his name in vain, we wonder, don't they know who he is? In fact, I've said this lots of times, I often wonder, why don't they say, oh, Julius Caesar, or oh, Napoleon? Why always use the Lord's name in vain if they don't even believe in him? Well, that's what Satan wants. Put down somebody enough, and then everybody will realize he's nothing. Push him away, and he's nothing. We know him, we even know his family. We've got his mom around here. We've got his four brothers around here. We've got his sisters, at least two, of course, around here. We know him. He's just, you know, he grew up here. I remember when he was a little kid just toddling around. And he was always the one. And then they'll go on with some little remembrance, whatever it is. He can't grow up to be anything important. He's not a miracle worker. He's not a prophet. Certainly, they're not going to say he is God. And this woman last week, who because she trusted she could be healed by Jesus, if she just touched him, receives the healing. But all of those who say, you go away from me, you get away from me, we don't think you can do anything. Jesus marvels that they are so stubborn, that even having needs, they won't turn to him. And that's the way it is in the world. It's the way it is in our old sinful nature. Much of what's in our lives, we either don't want fixed or don't think can be fixed, at least not by him. And it doesn't mean that we take out our Christmas list and tell him everything that's wrong with us and say, you better fix this. But in terms of our life and the way we live it, our Lord says, come to me, you who are labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest. I'll give you peace. I'm the one who can reach into your heart and help you face the days of your life. It is not that he will always cure things, but he says, I will be with you and I will give you help every single day because I'm your Savior and your Lord and I love you all the way into eternity. And so every gospel is going to end with Jesus hanging on a cross, abandoned by his Father, crying out, this text in this gospel, my God, why have you forsaken me? And the message of the gospel somehow is Jesus was put on a cross to save people from their sins, not because he was a bad guy. The gospel of Mark, many people believe, was addressed to people, Christians particularly, in the city of Rome to help them understand how to tell that story. How to say to people why this man who was crucified, the worst kind of criminal thing that can happen, how he could be God. So tell the story of the healing that he did. But also, along with some about the new kingdom, tell the story of the rejection, the fights. Why did people reject him? They did not reject him because he was a criminal and bad. They rejected him because of something that was wrong in their own heart. And only the Spirit of God can finally fix that. The Spirit of God who gave us the power to trust in Jesus as we heard that message and as we were baptized, to reconcile us with God Almighty so that we don't go blaming him for everything, but recognize that God is with us, not against us. He who did not spare his own Son, will he not also give us all things? But we get the things he offers, and that's the problem. Sometimes we want what we want instead of we want what he has to offer. Be like going into a car showroom and asking them to sell you some cereal. Well, that's not what it's about there. To go before God and say, here, I want you to fix this. And he says, I've already fixed you. I've already healed you. You're already mine. You're already at peace with me. And you're going to be with me forever and ever. A lot of times we are our own worst enemies. Setting out the stage of what we expect of ourselves and others, that simply isn't going to happen. And then being frustrated in this broken world we live in. But our Lord lifts up our eyes. He lifts our eyes up to say, you too can repent. Jesus sends his disciples out to ask the people of the various towns to repent, to say, we need help. That's all he wants, is for us to say, we need help. And so we Lutheran Christians gather together at worship and we confess our sins. We need help. And our eyes are turned toward that cross that says, this is what he did. It's already been given. You are at peace with the Almighty God forever. You need not worry about anything in you, whether you qualify, whether you're good enough. All you need to know is he has downloaded into you the healing of the brokenness from God, the healing of peace with God, and everything else flows out into our world from that. When we struggle, we need to hear what we are, not what we ought to be. When we think and boast arrogantly that we're on our own, we need to hear what we are and not what we expect everyone else to be. We are at peace. And he lets us know that he came and suffered and died not because he was a criminal, but because he took our crimes. He took our rebellion on himself. That's gone. And thus, Jesus did not go out and say to his disciples and send them out to say, now everybody better shape up so when the Messiah comes, you're all scrubbed clean and pretty. He sent them out to say, here's where the help comes, from coming on our knees before our God and saying, we need your help. And hearing that good news of salvation, I saved you, I redeemed you, you are mine. I am at peace with you forever. It's pretty good news. Pretty good news when we not only celebrate freedom in our country from foreign oppression, but when we get to celebrate freedom in the presence of our God for all eternity. It's the way it is on this 4th of July weekend in the year of our Lord 2015. Amen.